Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, today is Monday, June 5th. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. So at First Baptist Texarkana, the church I pastor, I have been in a series. I started it a few weeks ago, a series. I've never done this series before, a series on the Ten Commandments. I've entitled this series, Written in Stone. And the Ten Commandments were written, the Bible tells us, written in stone, written by the finger of God. And we know, if we've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, we know that they were on two tablets of stone. And when God's finger comes, it comes in the form of fire and kind of lightning as he writes on the stone. But two tablets of stone. And we have kind of postulated in our minds, nobody has seen, obviously, the tablets of stone, they're gone, but we've postulated in our minds, you have one tablet that deals with the first four commandments, and the next tablet that deals with the next six commandments. The first four commandments are all vertical. It's, as Vodi Bakum has said, they are the laws of worship. You worship God only. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You worship God only. You worship God rightly. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the sea. You worship God reverently. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And then you worship God regularly. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are the four vertical commandments that deal with our relationship to God. Now, obviously, that is number one. That's first. And just as Jesus said when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And that encompasses that first tablet, those first four commandments. But then he said, the second is like it, and it goes from vertical to horizontal. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two laws depend the whole, these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So everything hangs on that. And the next six commandments are those horizontal commandments, how we deal with people. And they hinge on the horizontal commandments, deals with parents. And it says in commandment number five, honor your father and your mother, as Moses reiterates in Deuteronomy. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, what's interesting about this fifth commandment, this hinge commandment, going from the vertical to the horizontal, and he immediately goes to the parents. Children, and all of us are children, not from the standpoint of being young, perhaps, but we all have parents. Nobody gets into this world without a father and without a mother. As much as the social scientists are trying to erase that, this is just an aside, but I think we ought to start referring to people by their chromosomes. So we know it is so confusing. Well, that's a trans man. That's a trans woman. What is that? Let's just talk about somebody's chromosomal makeup, because that cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. You can carve up your body. You can take all sorts of hormone blockers and things like that. You can turn yourself into a monstrosity, but you're never going to change your chromosomes, because that is your chromosomal makeup is on every cell of your body. And so in order to come into this world, there has to be an XY male and an XX female that come together in reproduction. And so we are all children. We have a biological father. We have a biological mother. And the Bible says, in stone, honor your father and your mother. And this is a command that comes with a promise, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. as I was studying for this sermon that I delivered yesterday, I ran across this quote from Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody, the great preacher of yesterday, he said this, "No man or woman who dishonors father or mother ever prospers." I mean, it is a foundational stone in our lives and in the fabric of society that we are to honor our father and our mother. And if we don't do that, it's not going to go well with us. We're not going to live long on the earth. And in the Old Testament, God said, hey, if you curse your father and your mother, you are deserving of death. And anyone who does that and dishonors his parents should be killed. Here's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear. Now, Jesus referred to this in the New Testament when he was talking to the Pharisees and how they had taken the commands of God and had added their traditions to those, and they let tradition trump the word of God. They were accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath, and Jesus said, I'm not breaking the Sabbath, I'm breaking your tradition, but you're breaking the command of God. For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. That's from the lips of Jesus as he quotes from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, Exodus 21, 17. Whoever curses his father and mother is worthy of death. That's a serious, serious offense to dishonor your parents. And listen, all of us want life to go well. I've never met a person that says, you know, I want to see how horrible my life can be. I'm just going to run my life into the ditch. Lots of people run their lives into the ditch, but they're not thinking that way. There's so many people like the prodigal son. Why did the prodigal son do what he did? Why did he leave the father's house and squander his wealth? Was he searching for misery? Did he say, I think I'm going to leave my father's house so I can end up at the pigsty? Of course not. He left longing for freedom, longing for thrills and excitement and wine and women and song and all the passing pleasures of sin. He went in that direction. But as I tell people all the time, as I tell myself all the time when I'm tempted, every sin always is the pathway to the pigsty. It always leads to the same place. It leads to devastation in life. And so when we think about this hinge point commandment, commandment number 5, honor your father and mother, hey, that commandment has a wonderful promise. Paul said it's the first commandment with a promise. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And so if you want to get in on the goodness of life and the goodness and blessing of God, it starts. Now, it doesn't end with honoring your parents. It starts with honoring your parents. And if you're not going to honor your parents, it's not going to go well with you. And literally, you deserve, from the Old Testament law, you deserve to be stoned if you bring great shame and dishonor to your parents, if you refuse to obey your parents. Parents are interesting people in our lives. They're the first people that we know as a little kid. Now, this is assuming that your mom and dad are there, and there's not death that takes them away, or you're in an orphanage or something like that, because then it's a different situation. But in the way God set it up, a child has parents. He has a mother and he has a father. And they are different, and kids know there's a difference there. Dad is big and strong, and tough, and mom is more gentle and more nurturing, not 100% of the time, but in general, that is how it tends to be. And the children respond differently to mom than they do dad. But here's the position that God has put parents in. Parents serve as a surrogate God in the lives of their children. They're God's representatives, and especially dad, God's representative to that child, to those children. And I love what somebody said. Hey, when you have kids, there is one word you need to remember, mom. There's one word you need to remember, dad. Once you have children, you must behave. You must be an example to your kids. You can't be a high school kid running around like you have no responsibilities. You do. You have another life that that God has entrusted to your care, and you need to be an example to them in godliness and in integrity and in responsibility. So you need to behave. And your kids, they come to know God through their parents. And parents are in a position of authority in the lives of their children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You are to do that. So we talked about that yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, and it really hit a nerve. I got a number of comments from people that said, you know, this was a good message for me. This brought me back. This really spoke to my heart. Now, for some who don't have a good relationship with mom and dad, for those who feel like they dishonored mom and dad, it can be a hard message to hear. But it's one that we need to hear, and we need to heed, and we need to understand. So, you know, you think about, okay, honor your father and mother. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word honor, literally kavod in the Hebrew, it's used over 150 times in the Old Testament. That means to have weight, to be heavy, to be glorious. And when you honor someone, you honor your parents, it means you attach weight to their position, to their person, to their counsel, to what they do and what they say. They're an important person in your life. You know, there are only two people in life that we call mom and dad. And those are our parents. We typically don't call our parents by their first names. Now, we might do it tongue in cheek. We might do it just as a fun thing. But we call our parents mom and dad. And nobody else calls them mom and dad. I like what Jim Gaffigan says, the comedian. He said that in his family, his wife is one of nine children. And he said, I call my in-laws Dom and Louise. And he said, I have some of my wife's siblings that got married, and their spouse calls Dom and Louise mom and dad. He said, I don't understand that. That's just weird. Why would you call your in-laws mom and dad? Especially out in public. You know, your wife calls her parents mom and dad, and you as her husband call her parents mom and dad, and people are like, good grief, these people are brother and sister, and they're married. How sick is this family? So really, it's only the children that call these two people their parents mom and dad. They have a special, special place in the life of this child. And honor means that you give them respect and you treat them as a heavy hitter in your life. And honor does not diminish. There's no shelf life on honor. God doesn't say honor your father and mother until you get to be 18 years old. You honor your father and mother until the day you die, because they will always be your parents, and they're always in that special place of authority as God's representative to you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the fifth commandment. We're talking about honor. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the fifth commandment, the commandment that God gives us to honor our father and mother. It's the commandment with a promise, the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it. If you do this, the Lord says it will go well with you in the land that he is giving you, and your days will be prolonged in the land. Now, as one commentator said about that, he said, well, here's what the Lord is saying. Your society will not flourish and it will not continue if your homes are destroyed by rebellion, by dishonor. The home is critical to a society, and it was critical in Jewish life. You think about this. Before God created anything in society, before he created government, before he created schools, before he created the church, he created the home. He said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable to him. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he performed the first surgery and took out from Adam's side bone and flesh and fashioned this beautiful creature called woman. And brought her to the man, and the man saw her and said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she came out of man. She shall be called Hebrew Isha because she came out of Ish. Ish is man, Isha is woman. And the Bible says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. It's a beautiful picture. Well, God establishes marriage and family before he establishes anything else. And the home is so critical. And honoring your father and mother is super important. That's why it was written on tablets of stone. Now, as I said in the first segment, what does that mean? It means you have an attitude of respect and high esteem. The word honor means to be weighty, to be heavy, to be glorious. And you have that attitude toward your parents. And they're always in this position of high esteem in your life. Now, when you're a child, when you're living under their roof, you obey your parents. Not only do you have an attitude of respect for your parents, but you obey them and their rules and their commands. Hey, here's curfew time is this, and here are your chores. You do this, you do that, you do the other. They have things for you to do, and you obey that because you live under their roof and under their authority. But now when you get older, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. When you start your own adult life, you don't so much obey your parents. They're not controlling your life, but you always have this attitude of respect for them. And they always need to feel honored by you because you say, Mom, Dad, you are in a special place. You carry weight in my life. And so that's what that means to honor your parents. Now, why is it so important to do that? Why did God etch that in stone? Why is that the hinge commandment between the vertical and the horizontal? Well, it's because God wants a child to learn very early on about authority. Authority is key in a kid's life. And honoring your parents teaches you to honor authority because they are the authority figure. And that's why it says in Deuteronomy 21, if you have a kid that won't obey you, that just keeps dishonoring you, won't do what mom and dad says, take him out and stone him to death. That is a capital offense in Israel. Because if you have a child who won't obey mom and dad, and won't submit to mom and dad's authority, well, he's not going to submit to anybody's authority. And he's going to be a problem in Israel, and that's why the Lord said, so you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear. You know, when God brings about a catastrophic judgment, it would always cause people to fear. You think about Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do? They lied about an offering they gave. It was in their power. They sold a piece of property. They could have given whatever they want, but they, whatever they wanted to give on that, the sale of the property, but they lied. They said they gave it all and they didn't. And why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to men, but to God, Peter said. And both of them died, Ananias and then his wife Sapphira, they died. And the Bible says, and great fear fell upon the whole church. Well, yeah, if the Lord starts whacking people who are lying in church and they start dying, you're going to be very, very careful to make sure everything you say is truthful. And God does that as an example. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. And sometimes we forget, hey, God hasn't changed his stance on lying. He hasn't changed his stance on sexual immorality and on perversion. He doesn't destroy like he did. He used those as examples, but he will destroy every single person who lives like that. It's on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And some, it's cataclysmic. He rains fire and brimstone down from heaven. But for others, it's they die and then they stand before God at the judgment. And they're going to hear him say, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. And they will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if any man's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So the Lord puts a premium on honoring your parents because it teaches us to honor authority. And as we had, you know, just a few years ago, all those riots and people, you know, shouting and marching in the streets, no justice, no peace, and we're going to burn your city down, we're going to burn the police department down, and we're going to create all kinds of havoc. Well, that is not birthed in the heart of God. There is one who is the father of rebellion. His name is Satan. He was Lucifer, the great and mighty angel that God made, the holy angel, but he rebelled against God. He took a third of the angels with him. And Lucifer, the star of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night. And so anybody who is rebelling against authority, that person is following in the footsteps of Lucifer. And we can appeal to authority for sure, and we can come before authority and present our case, but we never do it in a surly, disrespectful manner. You know, when the apostles told the Sanhedrin, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. They disobeyed. It was civil disobedience, but they did it with an attitude of, we must obey God. It wasn't an in-your-face, surly, what are you going to do about it, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. It wasn't like that. It was this attitude that says, hey, I'm sorry, I can't comply. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told by King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to play the music and you obey. And they said, we can't do it. You know, throw us in the fiery furnace. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, let it be known to you this day, O king, that we're not going to bow to your images. To your image, and we're not going to worship the golden statue. Why? Because God has commanded us to worship him alone. So the honor of your parents, really, really critical to teach you about authority right off the bat as a little kid, and then to teach you the value of family, because family is so important, and we've lost that in our country today. We've lost the value of family. But the Jews, man, Old Testament Jews, they knew the value of family. Every woman wanted to be married and have children. As Rachel said to Jacob, who became Israel, the father of the 12 tribes, she said, give me children lest I die. She wanted to have children so bad she couldn't have any. Her sister Leah was having all sorts of children, but Rachel wasn't having any. God finally opened her womb and she had Joseph, who's one of the greatest Old Testament saints who ever lived. Joseph and then Benjamin. She died giving birth to Benjamin, his younger brother. The value of family. Now, perhaps you remember a speech by Barack Obama when he was senator, before he got elected as president. This was in the Father's Day message 2008 at the Apostolic Church in Chicago. And this is what he said. It is spot on. Rarely would I ever quote from Barack Obama, because he and I wouldn't see eye to eye on nearly anything. But this is what he said, and it's so true. He got flack for this, too. The family is that most important foundation, and we are called to recognize and honor what every father is to that foundation. But if we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that too many fathers are MIA, missing in action, and too many fathers are AWOL, absent without leave, missing from too many lives and too many homes. They've abandoned their responsibilities. They're acting like boys instead of men, and the foundations of our families have suffered because of it. You and I know how true this is in the African American community. We know that more than half of all black children live in single parent households, a number that has doubled, he said, since we were children. We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of schools, and 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They are more likely to have behavioral problems or run away from home or become teenage parents themselves, and the foundations of our community are weaker because of it. That was from Barack Obama's Father's Day message 2008 at the Apostolic Church in Chicago, and some people really didn't like it that he called out folks in the African American community about the lack of fathers in the home. Well, what he said was 100% true. I don't know if he'd say it today, but what he said back in 2008, 100% true. And God wants us to understand in the fifth commandment how important family is and how important it is, two things, for mom and dad to be honorable before the Lord, and for children to honor their parents. Now, it is a command of God on children that we honor our parents, even if they're not honorable. Now, it makes it a whole lot easier to honor our father and mother when our father and mother are honorable, but we're commanded to honor them even if they're not honorable. A husband is commanded to love his wife even if she's not very lovable at the time. And a wife is commanded to respect her husband, even if he's not very respectable. And the scripture, 1 Peter 3:1, says, if a wife has a husband who's disobedient to the word, she can win him without a word as he observes her chaste and respectful behavior. As she respects him, even when he's not respectable, that does something to him, that convicts him, that provides the environment for him to change. Men don't respond well to nagging, but they respond very well to respect. So in all those instances, in those husband-wife relationships, in the child-parent relationships, we're commanded by God, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We do that in the Lord because it's the right thing to do, and we don't do that based on how the people are acting, whether it's a husband who's not very respectable, a wife who's not very lovable, or parents who are not very honorable. It doesn't matter. We do that because we are serving the Lord, and this is the way he has called us to live. So that command, so critical. Let me just, we're going to go to the phone lines in a little bit here, but let me just give you some practical ways. So this is what I shared with the church yesterday, answered the question, what does it mean to honor your parents? Answered the question, why is it so important to do that? Because it teaches us about authority. It teaches us the value of family. And then thirdly, well, how do I do it? What are some practical ways to honor father and mother? Well, let me give you a few. Number one, how about being grateful and thankful to mom and dad? And regardless of your age, you know, you might be 50 years old listening to this and your parents are in their 70s or maybe in their 80s. Write them a note. And I do think that a note is more powerful than even just a personal call or a visit, because a note is something that they can read and reread and reread again and again and again. And so let them know how much you appreciate them and the sacrifices they made for you. Express gratitude to your parents. And I love this. I read this in my studies. I was thinking so much for kids who are home for the summer and maybe lying around the house and parents asking them to do stuff and they moan and groan and whine and cry, oh, I don't want to do that. How about you just say, yes, Mom, I'll do that for you. Yes, Dad, I'll do that for you. And have just a yes, sir, yes, ma'am attitude. That expresses gratitude. And secondly, you can listen to your parents. You can listen to their counsel. And when you're a kid living under their roof, you can heed their commands. But even as an adult, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? Hey, Mom, what do you think about that? I want to get your input. Why? Because you are a heavy hitter. And I want to hear what you have to say. How about this one? Seek to live a godly life. You know, we bring honor to our parents when we live honorably. The Bible says the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Live a godly life. How about this one? Include them in your life. Call them and let them know what's going on with you, and let them know what's going on with your kids. Don't exclude them. Include them. They love you, and they want to be a part of your life. And then forgive them and seek forgiveness if you have a bad relationship with your parents. Hey, no matter what has transpired, God is the God of hope. God is the God of might and miracle. God is the God of restoration. And when we do things God's way, He can restore what the locusts have eaten. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and that your days may be prolonged. And so we have a twofold promise in there, that it may go well with you and that your days may be prolonged on the earth. Now, we are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk with you about this important command. And I got texted to me a question by my wife, Debbie. She was supposed to be here today, but she's going to come in on Wednesday. But she talked about boundaries. Boundaries and honor, because I know and that there are lots of people that their parents are less than honorable, and maybe they have been abusive. Maybe they have substance abuse problems, or maybe they have anger and other sexual abuse has taken place in the family. It's like, how do I honor my father who did this terrible thing to me? Well, you have to have boundaries for sure. But you can't let the bitterness get into your heart. I shared about Dr. Charles Stanley, who had a stepfather who was very angry, very abusive verbally, and he was abusive physically, especially to Charles's mother. And Charles threatened, as a 12-year-old boy, he said, my stepdad was getting ready to choke my mother. They were in a big fight. And he said, I stepped in, pushed him away, and said, if you do that to her again, I'm going to kill you. And he had a lot of resentment and bitterness toward his father. Well, he goes on to grow up and he becomes a pastor, and the Lord convicts his heart years later. You have unforgiveness toward your dad, toward your stepdad, and you need to make that right. And so Charles bit the bullet and he went to visit his stepdad, and he asked him to forgive Charles for his unforgiving spirit toward his stepdad. Now, there were lots of reasons why he didn't like his stepdad, but he didn't throw any of that back on his stepdad, whose name was John, I believe, Johnny. Yeah, he just said, I need you to forgive me for my unforgiving spirit toward you. And when he took ownership of his fault in the relationship, his stepdad responded, came across the table, put his arms around Charles, began to weep, and asked Charles if he would forgive him for the terrible things that he had done. And it was a day of healing And Charles was relating that story. I think it was an interview that he did when he was in his late 70s. And he teared up as he was talking about it because it was so such an emotional time for him and an emotional experience. But here's the thing. We can forgive our parents. We can seek to be made right with our parents if we've had a problem. And Romans 12, 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. But you do, if you have a mom or a dad that's bipolar or has some other issue, you do have to have healthy boundaries. And in those healthy boundaries, still have an attitude of honor toward your parents in the Lord, because you're doing that for the Lord, not so much for them, but for the Lord as we serve Him. And God will bless you for that. Well, we have Michael on the line from Texas. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. And thank you for your service. I appreciate that. And then for this topic, it is such an important topic. My input here is just, I think it's so important that we realize as parents that, you know, the responsibility we have and to be honorable parents.
Yes.
And to do what we're supposed to do in our part with our children and being honorable with them. And then being in that situation, to honor an unhonorable parent, that is a tough situation. You've got to be so careful, especially if grandchildren are part of that relationship too. If they've become a part of that relationship, you don't want to put your children in a compromising situation with your parent. So that can be such a tough issue in honoring your parent. So my line of thought is speak the truth in love. Speak truth and love to your parents. Honor them. I'm not going to stick my neck back out there again to get it chopped off twice. Mm-hmm. Get my head chopped off twice. I mean, if you've learned from your stripes, what you've been through. But I'm in that situation with my mother, my mother and father, just honoring them. I'm not going to honor them. I'm not going to follow them to hell. If they've chosen to disregard Christ and not to honor the Spirit of Christ, well, that they've made their bed, they've got to sleep in it. That's their mistake. You know, right. I can speak the truth to them in love, say, hey, you're missing it here, I've done my part. I can step back, I'm not responsible. I mean, if God tells you to warn somebody and you warn them and they continue to go the wrong way, that's on them.
Right. Well, you're exactly right, Michael. So, if you have parents, a lot of people have parents that are very controlling. They want to still treat you like you're, a 10-year-old, and that's not healthy on their side. And so you have to create those boundaries that say, okay, I'm going to honor you. It's always in the context of honor. You're a special person in my life. I always want to keep you in that high, high position and to have reverence for my mom and dad. But that doesn't mean I believe what they believe. They could be atheists, so I'm not going along with that. They could be, as I'm thinking about a dear lady in our church, or her brother transitioned to become a woman. He has two sons. So how are those boys? I mean, you talk about having a difficult time honoring their father. They would be so embarrassed by their father and just seeing him go off the rails. So you really have to say, okay, Lord, I can't do this in and of myself. You have to do this through me. And that's why I said earlier, Michael, that, just like in marriage, hey, if you will, your wife is commanded to respect her husband. Well, if you will live a respectable life, it'll really make it easier for her to fulfill her job description. And wives, if you will be lovable, sweet and lovable and kind to your husband, it makes it a lot easier for him to love his wife as Christ loved the church. If you become a porcupine and always whine and gripe and complain and nagging at him, it's going to be difficult for him. He's got to really press into the Lord to do that, because there's going to be nothing in him that's going to want to do that. But really, the Christian life is not lived It's all lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to abide in Him. He's the vine, we're the branches, so everything we do, we abide in Him. And in honoring a mom and dad that are not very honorable, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. As we trust Him, He can enable us to have the right attitude toward them. And let me just say this too, Michael, you bring up something that's a good point. Some people are guilt-ridden over this. I talked to somebody just yesterday, and I was terrible to my mother as she got older, and I feel guilty about that. And God does not, listen, you can blow it in the Christian life, you can blow it with the fifth commandment, but God doesn't call us and He doesn't want us to live in guilt and shame the rest of our days. And if your parents are gone and you said, well, I said terrible things to my parents. I talked to one guy one time, he said, the last thing I said to my dad was, I hate you and never want to see you again. And then my dad went out and he got in a car accident and was killed. And so I have to live with this, this fact that the last thing I said to him was that I hated him. Well, what do you do with that? You have to bring that to the Lord, and you have to confess that to the Lord, and you say, God, I blew it big time, and I am so overwhelmed with guilt and shame and regret. But there's godly sorrow and there's worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow brings repentance, and it brings relief and restoration and peace. Worldly sorrow just has you marinate in the regret. And Peter had godly sorrow, and he repented and got right with the Lord. Judas had worldly sorrow, and he went and hanged himself. So big, big difference. And God doesn't call any of us. He doesn't want any of us to live in guilt and shame. I always think about Luke chapter 7, the prostitute who wept at Jesus' feet. And she was pouring out tears of repentance. And he said to your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Not go away in guilt. Not go away in shame. Not go away. Here's your scarlet letter that you can put on your, on your breast pocket. No, go in peace because you are forgiven. And the blood of Jesus, to use a 1 John term, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. The moment we repent and confess our sins, turn from our sins, and trust the Lord. So, Michael, thank you for calling today, and God bless you, my brother. And may He bless your relationship with your mom and dad as you seek to honor Him. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we have about 5 minutes left. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, just call in and we can take that and the Lord can hopefully use you to encourage someone else. I love this verse in Leviticus 19:3. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? To have reverence for them. And to put them in this high, high place because they are mom and dad. And hey, they might have been not very good as your mom and as your dad, but they went through, your mom went through the pain of childbirth, and no doubt your parents were involved with bringing you up as a little child, being there in the middle of the night, feeding you, changing you, clothing you, hugging you, rocking you, all those things that we tend to take for granted, but as we see it, Debbie and I, firsthand with our two grandsons, Jack is almost 2 years old and little Chase is about 3.5 months old, mom and dad have to do a lot. And as a little kid, you don't realize that until you have children and you realize, man, this little person is a full-time gig, and they're not easy when they're little, and they are very, very demanding, and they're not very good at letting you know. Even Jack at almost 2 years old, he's not very good at letting mom and dad know, I'm so thankful for you, mom and dad, you're so wonderful. Now, his smile, his laugh, his hug, that just means the world. But anyway, we need to learn as we get older how much our parents sacrificed for us. And Here's the thing, when you have kids, you realize John 3:16 so much more vividly, and it impacts you so much more. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wow. I have three daughters. I wouldn't give one of my three daughters for sinners who spit in my face, but God gave his only son for you and me. Well, we have Martha on the line from, I'm not sure where Martha's from. Where are you from, Martha?
Omaha.
Omaha.
Omaha. Well, originally from Houston, but I live in Omaha now.
Okay, it just said N.A. I was trying to figure out what state N.A. is.
Oh, it's probably supposed to be N.E. for Nebraska.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my parents have passed, and so I'm calling about the aspect of being the parent to be honored. And my ex-husband and I were married 22 years. He was unfaithful multiple times, even with counseling and things like that. He's remarried now, and you know, on his sixth marriage. And they've known each other 4 months before they were married. And so my problem is that he's wanting our children and grandchildren to embrace her into the family and give her a grandma name and do all those things. And I'm having trouble with that. And how do I exemplify being an honorable woman to my children and grandchildren if this is so hurtful to me?
Yeah.
That's the question I have.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, Martha. That would be very, very hurtful. How many children do you have?
I have three children, two boys and a girl, and I have seven grandchildren. My oldest son had cancer, and it's a miracle that he has kids. So,
here's what I would do, obviously this is lots of different ways to do this, but I would just let my kids know that that's very hurtful to me. And that, you know, that you would prefer that they just call her by her name. If she's going to be in the picture, his sixth wife, that's just very, very painful. And so I would let them know, you know, you can't control that, obviously, but that from your perspective is just a dishonoring thing that, you know, this woman would just come into the picture and all of a sudden she has this status and all. And just kind of leave it at that and trust the Lord with that. Cast that burden on the Lord. But listen, if I'm you, that's going to be very, very hurtful for me too. So my heart goes out to you in that. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's a joy to get to be with you every morning. I look forward to being with you tomorrow morning as we welcome Dr. Chris Schroeder to the program. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you, and honor your father and mother. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.